August 21st, 2014, public meeting of the State of Arizona Citizens Clean Election Commission to order. It's been our practice where the commission may vote to go into executive session, which will not be open to the public for purposes of obtaining legal advice on any item listed in the agenda pursuant to 38-431.03A3. And we also reserve the right to address matters in an order different than that which is listed on the agenda. That being said, thank you for everyone being here. My apologies for being a little late. The next item after the call to order is the discussion and possible action on the commission minutes for July 17, 2014 meeting and the July 31st, 2014 meeting. I'll take those together unless somebody has a particular comment on one of those. But is there any discussion with regard to that, or is there a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes.
Joining the meeting.
Jason Torchinski.
Okay, we have a motion to approve both sets of minutes. Is there a second? All right, I will second it. Commissioner Laird's not there, so all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
I vote aye on the meeting I was present at and staying on the other one.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I was the first one I was there and the second one I wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So that being the case, then the motion passes to approve those unanimously except with respect to the July 31st minutes in which there was one abstention. Okay, Executive Director's Report, Item 3. Mr. Collins, if you would, please, sir.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'll try to move through this quickly because I think that we are, obviously, we've got a lot of stuff on the agenda. You see that primary election is on Tuesday. The qualifying period ended on Tuesday, and candidates have until the 26th to apply for funding. We will have a last few folks here getting their funds, we hope, shortly. You'll see there, I want to make a quick note about independent expenditure reports. You'll see there identified a number of entities that have submitted exemption forms under Rule 109. And we have two entities that haven't. I note there that we'll be reporting back to you on subsequent developments with respect to those. I just want to really quickly, briefly note with respect to that report will need to look at things globally. Just as a aside, the Secretary of State asked for responses from a bunch of independent expenditure entities on some issues related to the statutes that are in play there. They got back multiple interpretations of the statutes, and the guidance that is out there from the Secretary of State don't really resolve the confusion there. So when we report back to you, it's going to be important that we look at our rules and ensure that there's an appropriate policy guidance in place. So I think that I just want to say that, you know, we do, as I say there, we do have to report back to you in subsequent meetings, but we need to make sure the scope of that report is broad enough to recognize that there is confusion out there right now in the regulated community about how some of this stuff works. You also see that we will be getting some, I will update the last item, we will be getting some information from the Attorney General's office regarding the amount of time that attorneys have put in there with respect to the interagency service agreement. So we look forward to having that so I can present to you some further information on how to continue that, how to go forward with that contract, which is up currently. Also, just note that Mr. Ellman, the Solicitor General, would like to directly address the commission about the ISA when it is on the agenda. So that's really the high points of my report at this point, but if there are any questions,
joining the meeting.
It is notice for discussion. I think we, so, so.
Okay. I think just for the record, Commissioner Laird has joined, and so we have a full commission here now attending the meeting. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Collins, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Collins, I just wondered if the Attorney General was also going to be providing us an indication of what they worked on during the time periods, as opposed to just the raw amount of time.
I think we're going to start with the raw amount of time, and then we'll work, see what we have, and go from there. I can tell you that my original request was for what and how much. The response I've gotten is that it's significantly easier for them to give us how much. I'll have to evaluate that. If that gives us enough context in order for me to feel like I'm advising you, then we'll have that. And if we don't, then that's obviously a conversation we can continue. We're entitled to both, I mean, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in knowing, like, even if it was just a list of what projects they worked on, untied to specific time for each project, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it'd be useful to know what we're paying for as well as how much we're paying for. So, just a request.
Sure.
I appreciate appreciate your looking into it carefully.
Mr. Kester, do you have a question?
No, not really. You might tell Mitch Laird what we've covered so far. So.
Okay. Commissioner Laird?
Yes.
We've approved the minutes. We are just going through the executive director report, and I think you came in on part of that. If you have any questions with regard to items you may not have heard Mr. Collins' report, then I'll just direct you to him so he can move.
Very good. Thank you for the update. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Kester. Mr. Titlin, please.
Mr. Collins, thanks for your report. It's a good report. And following up on last month's meeting about, outreach to the voters of Arizona, including the Native tribes, we talked about reaching the Native tribes through their own language because I think they would understand more information through their native languages as we go into Arizona. And somebody emailed me or contacted me from the office regarding a follow-up on that. I'm glad you guys are following up on that. They said that they were going to concentrate on Navajo language, and I wonder if you could clarify that.
Sure. And, in fact, actually, Commissioner Titla, if I may, the chairman record, the substance of our presentation later in this agenda on the updating the voter education for this year includes the language issues, and we'll be talking about that and getting feedback on that on another agenda item. So that will be later in the meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Collins, just quickly, one is kudos to you and the staff on the education efforts, including the debates and the information pamphlet. I've been through mine. I voted early, so I've already looked at it, and I thought it was well done, which is nice knowing that my name was on it. So anyway, Sarah, thank you for making sure that all candidates participated in their education session. I know that was something you were bird-dogging. And then just a quick question, Mr. Collins. Confusion over independent expenditure reports is that it's a statutory interpretation issue right now?
This is distinct from and I want to make this very clear because we have a different agenda item that relates to a different issue. What we're talking about here is those entities that are filing reports under pursuant to 16941D and 16914.02,
mm-hmm.
not those entities that purport to not have to file anything anywhere.
Right.
So that's where we need to kind of look and see. We have the secretary's office sent out a bunch of letters to entities. They got responses back that demonstrate that different entities have very different views of how those statutes work. The obligation under 914.02 becomes a broader obligation to make other reports. And so, you know, it seems to me what the secretary did is they launched a reasonable cause against an entity already. I think that, you know, and I don't want to get further than this, but next month I think we need to look at this from a perspective of whether or not you want to enforce first and ask questions later or make policy, you know, because generally you should make policy not as an ad hoc enforcement matter.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And so I would like, I just wanted to signal to you that when we talk about next steps, you know, I don't know what that looks like yet, but I just want to make sure that you knew that what would be coming is we need to look at it globally.
Would, in terms of the commission and its understanding or interpretation of statutes, what should we be looking for, example, an attorney general opinion? What should we be looking to do in terms of guidance? Your views? I mean, I just want to know how.
Sure.
How we
well,
should
and
proceed.
If I can, I want to make sure I can get. I don't know if I can go this far into the substance of that. Well, let me just say this about that. This agency is charged with making policy and enforcing the statutes and enforcing the Clean Elections Act. So my own view is that we should make policy and not and if we get to a place in any given situation where we believe we need an official attorney general's opinion, that's a different question, but I am not at that point at all, and I believe that this agency has to take its policy role first and then see if there's any further needs. But that's ultimately a commission call in a subsequent meeting that's
mm-hmm.
noticed.
Okay,
for that.
Fair. No, and I just wanted to get a sense of where we go with this. Oh, thank you. Just one note that I meant to do early on is we have a gentleman here to the right, and if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself.
Christopher Munns with the Solicitor General's office.
You're sitting as our counsel for
yes.
the meeting. Thank you, sir.
I thought you all had met Chris. I apologize if I didn't.
No, I don't think I have, but anyway, good to see you. Thank you. Welcome. And Commissioner Hoffman, you have a point?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the independent expenditure, you know, our statute is very clear on 16941 says, notwithstanding any law to the contrary, any person who makes independent expenditures related to a particular office cumulatively exceeding $500 in an election cycle with certain exceptions, which I'm not going to read, shall file reports with the Secretary of State in accordance with 16958, so indicating, identifying the office and the candidate or group of candidates whose election or defeat is being advocated and stating whether the person is advocating election or advocating defeat. So that's all we're doing. And, you know, all this stuff about other statutes is us trying to not require excess paperwork from entities that would fall within that statute but are already otherwise reporting. So
yeah.
I just wanted to make it clear that I don't think we need a whole lot of advice on you know, enforcing a statute of that nature. Basically says you should be reporting.
And again, I just want to say that the substance of this will be at a further meeting, and the only point was to say, you know, was to you know, basically highlight the point of the report, my report, which is written, that says what the next steps are.
Okay, thank you. All right. Appreciate that. Okay, agenda item number 4. This is the litigation report. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the commission may choose to go an executive session on this item for a consultation with attorneys regarding pending or contemplated litigation in order to consider its position and instruct its attorneys. The item before us is the Arizona Secretary of State's office versus the Committee for Justice and Fairness, item A, and I think Mr. Keenfield is here to discuss that. Did you have, or... Mr. Collins, I'll open the floor to you first, and then we'll invite Mr. Keenfield to comment.
Sure, and just to put this opinion in context, this dates to a 2010 expenditure by this entity called the Committee for Justice and Fairness, respecting then candidate for Attorney General Tom Horn. There was an enforcement action that resulted in a Maricopa County Superior Court judge saying that part of the Clean Elections Act, in his view, was not constitutional. That was challenged on appeal by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. The result was an opinion that issued that says that in fact that statute is constitutional. Mr. Keenfield represented the commission for purposes of filing an amicus brief in both the Superior Court and in the and in the Court of Appeals. And so he's here and available for any questions about the opinion if you have them, and whatever the appropriate context he advises in terms of executive session or not. But that's the situation.
Is there anything for discussion on the Secretary of State versus CJF that the commissioners would like? I have none, so we could ask Mr. Canfield to address any questions, but I think the opinion was fairly clear, and they got to go through the rest of the litigation at this point, but we know at least we're dealing with a constitutional statute. So, okay, Mr. Canfield, sure, please. So, and then just a note to the folks on the phone, we're hearing some paper shuffling and other noise, so you may want to mute until you talk. If you would, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, I don't have anything substantively to add about the Court of Appeals opinion. It was issued on August 7th. There's a 30-day period for the Committee for Justice and Fairness to file a petition for a review with the Supreme Court, so that would put that in early September. They could also ask for reconsideration, but that period of time may have already passed. It's 15 days. So we will monitor whether a petition for review is filed, and if one is filed, well, then we will obviously want to revisit the case with the Commission as to whether or not the Commission would want to file another amicus brief at the Supreme Court. So.
Okay. You might as well just stay up there, please, just because we'll talk now about Horn versus Citizen Clean Elections Commission. Mr. Collins, you would introduce it, and then we'll give it to Mr. Canfield again, please.
Okay. Sure. Mr. Chairman, members, this case, as you all probably are familiar with, we have in a couple of, I think it was a month and a half ago now, the Commission authorized an inquiry with respect to Mr. Horn's campaign. Mr. Horn, on July 3rd, filed a lawsuit seeking to enjoin that inquiry. We briefed and argued, Mr. Canfield briefed and argued the preliminary injunction. It was argued on the 11th, and we received the minute entry from the judge, I think, 2 days ago now, which we think, or at least, well, in our view, thoroughly rebuffed Mr. Horn's claims and efforts to enjoin the commission's inquiry, and so that's where they are procedurally. On that case.
Okay. Again, whoever's on the phone, if you could mute, please, because we're hearing background noise, paper shuffling, pen chewing, or something like that. I don't know. But in any event, Mr. Canfield, please, if you would.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, as Mr. Collins said, we are pleased with the result in the case. The court denied Mr. Horn's request for a preliminary injunction to stop the inquiry that's currently underway, but more fundamentally, the court agreed with the Commission's position with respect to its jurisdiction over non-participating candidates in the context of this particular inquiry. At this point, the court has asked us to lodge a proposed form of judgment, and which we will do shortly. The court wanted actually asked for that judgment to be lodged promptly, so we are working to get that done. Once the judgment will reflect the court's minute entry, and then once the judge signs the judgment, then it's final, and then the time to appeal that ruling will start to run. So other than that, unless there's any specific questions about any of the substance of the court's ruling.
Briefly, just review the points considered by the court in its opinion. I mean, I've read it, and I want to be reminded of and see if there's anything that the commissioners want to address with you in executive session.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So the issue before the court was really focused on whether the commission could enforce the contribution limit statute 16941B, which is in the act, against a non-participating candidate like Mr. Horn. The allegations, if proved to be true, would result in an in-kind contribution that may exceed the limits and invoke some of the penalty provisions under the Act. So the core question the court was considering that was raised by Mr. Horn, his attorneys, and the amicus that appeared in support of his position through Senator Pierce was that even though the statute that imposes limits on non-participating candidates is set forth in the Clean Elections Act, ostensibly applies to non-participating candidates. The language in that statute, as argued by the plaintiff, removed the jurisdiction from the commission with respect to contribution limits and placed it only in the hands of the Attorney General and the Secretary of State. But that was certainly not the way we read the statute and the Act as a whole, and the judge agreed with us and rejected Mr. Horn's arguments, and pretty clearly held that that the provisions in 16941 do apply to non-participating candidates, and the penalties for violating that statute as set forth in 16942 also apply.
Do you anticipate an appeal?
I don't know, Mr. Chair.
I just don't know if it'd be relevant at the time.
I mean, it's a pure question of law, as the court noted. I don't anticipate any issues with respect to the final judgment and getting that signed. Once the judgment signs, as I recollect, they will have 30 days to then file their notice of appeal with the Court of Appeals, and then we'll find ourselves briefing this case and appearing back before you and with the status at that time. So.
Thank you. The commissioners have any questions for Mr. Canefield? Mr. Hoffman?
Not for Mr. Canefield, but for Mr. Collins, if it's okay.
Sure. Just before we do that, I would ask, in as much as the Arizona Secretary of State Office versus the CJF has some decisions that may affect they may pertain to some of the issues we're dealing with in the LFAF case. I'd like you to hang around. I don't know if you're planning to leave yet, but just if you could stay through for that, because I think we're going to go into executive session. At least I'm going to ask for it, and then we'll have Ms. O'Grady and you comment on some things. So.
Okay.
We'll thank you. Go ahead.
I did have one thing to say to Mr. Canefield, which is congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Both of these items to you and Bo. I did a great job on the two cases. So could you remind me, Mr. Collins, what the status is of the Horn investigation?
It is ongoing.
Okay.
And when there's an appropriate time, we'll have a report back to you.
Okay, so it's not in today's agenda.
That is correct.
Okay. I just wanted to say that there were some allegations related to Mr. Horn's race. I should say, put it that way, with regard to the 2010 race, some of which are still unresolved. And I would like to see us move in real time on any allegations. We have the ability to, act a lot more promptly. And the kind of stalling for 4 years isn't good. And I'd like to see us, move forward as promptly as reasonable and prudent. So I thank you for your efforts, and I'll look forward to seeing what happens one way or the other, whether it's to clear Mr. Horn's name or impose penalties. We should be moving as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to item number 5. And again, this may be a situation in which we'd like to go into executive session for consultation with our attorneys. In as much as this item deals with some litigation involving the commission. Mr. Collins, if you would introduce it for us, please.
Sure.
And this relates, I think, to the item 5A, the MUR 14-007.
So insofar as we're dealing with 5A, I just would note, to recap where we were last month, the commission received a complaint respecting an expenditure by the Legacy Foundation Action Fund. The commission received a recommendation that, in part, that as I said at the time, was at the timing of it was related to the lawsuit that the Legacy Foundation Action Fund filed with relatively short order after the complaint itself was filed. That recommendation went through some issues detailing the terms express advocacy, and that recommendation did not address The question, which was also in the allegations of coordination between the Legacy Foundation Action Fund and the Ducey 2014, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, kind of just assuming to sort of cut to the chase here for today, the recommendation that is before you on this matter is to now resolve the question of the coordination and say, my recommendation is that that with respect to Ducey 2014, there is not coordination for the reasons outlined in the memo which you've received, which Ducey 2014 has received, and which I think everybody party to the matter has received. So that's there. I'm happy to take any questions about that if that's how you want to proceed with that aspect of it before the other one. I think the agenda item set up to allow that to take place.
Yeah, and I would like to deal with them separately because I think I want to go into executive. I'm going to ask for executive session on item B. I note Mr. Lombardi is here. Did you have anything that you wanted to say on this item?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. You've heard a lot from me verbally and in writing. So unless Commissioner Hoffman would like me to repeat my points, I will, since you weren't here. Sorry, Commissioner Hoffman. But you have before you the executive director's recommendation. We agree with the recommendation, and you have a lot of correspondence from me. So unless you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Thank you. And I keep wanting to call you, you know, Vince Lombardi's son, and I apologize, so Liberty. So
it's okay, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you.
I'll take it. It's a compliment.
I note that Mr. Torchinsky's on the phone. I imagine you will want to comment on item B when we get to that, but do you have anything to say on item 5A?
Other than the executive director's report didn't address the additional letter we sent addressing the CJF case, but it sounds to me like there's no recommendation in front of the commission with respect to our case, so I don't really have much to add.
Okay. Thank you.
Other than that, I support the recommendation to dismiss the coordination allegation.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, is anybody who present who is arguing that there was coordination?
No, my understanding is there is none that have been presented, nor is there any factual affidavits or anything to that effect.
If anyone is here who represents the complainant, they can raise their hand, but I haven't seen them.
Yeah. So that's my understanding, too.
I want to make one thing clear with respect to the agenda item. I mean, if you want to talk about LFAF itself, Mr. Trochinski is absolutely correct that I have not made a further written recommendation respecting his additional submission, which you all do have. But if you want to address that at all, the subpart 2 of A, I guess it would be under the 5A. I just want to make sure you understand.
To my recollection, Mr. Collins, that the LFAF portion would still be open with regard to the original complaint. We are just dealing with the coordination issue at this point.
That's exactly right. I just want to make that clear.
Moving the Ducey campaign along, getting them out of the picture. Now we're going to the extent there anything remains, it's with regard to whether or not there was express advocacy within the actions of the LFAF, and that's what remains of that complaint.
Agreed.
Based on your recommendation, if we were to adopt that.
Correct, and I just want to make sure.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand any of that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the way that this agenda item is set up and the way that the complaint is framed, it alleges two things. It alleges that the Legacy Foundation Action Fund made independent expenditure that triggered reporting requirements alternatively, that those independent expenditures were coordinated with the Ducey campaign and triggered requirements on the Ducey campaign. As I noted, so there's two separate questions. The question with respect to the Ducey campaign is whether or not there's coordination. The recommendation is on that to essentially terminate that part of the complaint. but that does leave the leading part of the complaint, whether or not the LFAF expenditure was an independent expenditure that triggered reporting requirements, open and in front of the commission.
And as I understand, Mr. Collins, that question, there's a predicate question, which is whether or not there was the communication was express advocacy, and then if it was, then does it constitute an independent expenditure?
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yeah, and that was why my reference to the Mr. Hoffman to the express advocacy issue.
Okay, so I understand that. Could you remind me what is the complainant alleging the coordination was?
Sure. So the coordination alleged is effectively what I think the complaint alleges is something about whether or not there is a legal coordination. In other words, because of the upshot is that it to the extent that there is a shared agent, employer officer between a candidate campaign and an independent expenditure entity, does that constitute coordination? And then there's a secondarily, or I mean, I only say secondarily because it comes next in order in the statute. If there is information being transmitted between the campaign to the independent expenditure group, the point to take the legal. So
I'm sorry. Could you just tell me factually what the allegation is?
Yeah, they shared an agent.
Okay, so
that's the allegation.
They meaning that the independent expenditure agent, the independent expenditure company LFAF,
yes,
used the same advertising company as the Ducey campaign.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and the thought is that perhaps the that advertising agent knows exactly what Ducey wants, and therefore communicates that to the outside, supposedly independent expenditure company. Is that the concept?
Well, I don't know what.
I mean, that's the concern.
That is a concern.
Okay. All right. So. And you're saying that the basis of your recommendation is not that, this Nebraska thing or anything, that you don't agree with what they're arguing there. What you're saying, your recommendation is simply that just because they hired the same company, that doesn't constitute coordination under
per se
14C because there's because the advertising agency is not a officer, director, employee of the Ducey campaign, and he's also not an agent. And the reason he's not an agent is because he doesn't have authority to make expenditures.
In this state.
In this state.
For Canada and in the state.
Okay. So, meaning to make expenditures for Ducey's campaign in the state.
Or yeah, right, that's right.
Okay. So and there's no evidence that we were brought to our attention by complainant that there was actual communication of facts through Mr. McCarthy.
Correct.
Okay.
All righty.
I understand now. Thank you.
You know, thank you. That's good. Good, we have it understood because we're going to vote on it here.
that's always the. It's always good to know what I'm voting on.
Yeah, we advocate voter education, so it's best that we follow it. Ms. O'Grady, did you have anything that you wanted to comment on this?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you. Well, that being said, then I'll entertain a motion to. Adopt the recommendation of the executive director with regard to MUR 14-007. Do I have such a motion?
Yes, I would move to dismiss the allegation of coordination on the MUR 14-007 Ducey campaign versus Smith.
Second.
Okay. Alrighty. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I'd just briefly like to comment that if a independent expenditure agency and a campaign hire the same person, there is a risk that information can be used by one to the other. And if evidence of that comes to the attention of the commission, we might have a different case, but we don't have that here. So, but it sure is something that is fraught with peril. So. I don't want this to be seen as some sort of pass that you always can do this because, if in fact information is passed through a conduit like that, it would be quite disturbing.
Well, and I also know from Mr. Collins' analysis that if LFAF is deemed to be a political committee, we may have a different view, conclusion. But for the time being, we haven't reached that. So that being said, any further discussion? There being none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. I don't know. All those opposed? Mr. Laird, I didn't hear your vote. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was on mute. I said aye, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
Aye.
Yeah, thank you, sir. All right, the motion passes unanimously. Move on to item, agenda item 5B, the procedural status, commission interest and related legal actions, and LFAF versus Citizens Clean Elections Commission. We'll start with Mr. Collins and Ms. O'Grady. We'll ask you to please come and comment.
Yeah, just real briefly, you know, we had a status conference essentially with the court. I can't remember what day it was on anymore. And there is a briefing schedule in place on the underlying lawsuit. The lawsuit, I'll let Mary describe it. I think the lawsuit effectively says this is that the commission lacks authority to do to be regulating independent expenditures, I think, or something like that. I'll let Mary characterize it, and obviously Mr. Trzynski's on the phone. Mary can review the procedural status with you, and then I think that to the extent that there's any guidance you want to give her, I probably shall recommend we go into executive session.
Okay, please, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, as Tom mentioned, there was a scheduling conference, so we do have a briefing schedule for our motion to our planned motion to dismiss based on failure to exhaust administrative remedies. And so we'll file that motion September 5th. The response is due the 10th. Briefing will close the 17th, and then we have oral arguments set on that for September 23rd. And then where it goes from there depends on, obviously, whether our motion is granted. In terms of the nature of the lawsuit, it challenges this commission's jurisdiction over the complaint and also the constitutionality of 901.01, the statute defining express advocacy. So that's the nature of the lawsuit. And then anything beyond that, I probably reserve for executive session.
Okay. And all righty. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Mr. Trzynski, you have the mic.
I don't have anything to add to what anybody said at this point.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Alrighty, I would like to have us consider going into executive session. If we would, please. I have a motion in support of that.
I move to go into executive session to discuss legal commission interest, procedural status, commission interest, and related legal actions in LFAF versus Citizens Clean Elections Commission in Maricopa County Superior Court.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Opposed? Nay. It carries. We're in executive session. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll be dropping off the phone. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Trzynski.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Leaving the meeting.
Jason Trzynski.
Oh, were they on the same? They're on the same line. Oh, yeah, then let's have him do it. Just, yeah, that's probably, I'm sure he's gone, but, oh, yeah, Steve needed you, Paula.
Okay. Commissioner Laird, if you want to hang up, I'm going to call you back directly.
Okay, I'll hang up. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
Leaving the meeting.
Mitch Laird.
Some of this is starting to make sense to me. The whole statutory scheme, all that starting to, you know, coagulate now after a few years of dealing with it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. you have an advantage. So.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I'm so grateful that Governor Lee and you want, or whomever,
Yeah,
because no one knows it as well as we do. Okay. Are we all set, Tom?